In a world increasingly dominated by mass production and disposable goods, Alan Moore's Dew Design stands as a quiet manifesto for beauty, craftsmanship, and intention. The book has become something of a cult classic among designers, entrepreneurs, and creative thinkers since its publication, with figures like Johnny Ive reportedly keeping copies on their desks. What makes this slim volume so powerful is its radical simplicity. It asks us to reconsider our relationship with the objects we create and consume, suggesting that beauty isn't merely decorative, but fundamental to our well-being. As we face mounting environmental challenges and social disconnection, Moore's philosophy offers a path forward that honors both human creativity and planetary boundaries. His ideas have influenced everything from sustainable business practices to mindful technology design, reminding us that how we make things ultimately shapes who we become. Beauty is not a luxury. It's a necessity that sustains us. Beautiful things are prepared with love, and the act of creating something beautiful brings good into the world. This simple act says, life is worthwhile. Beauty possesses remarkable resilience, outliving its creators as gifts to humanity that endure through generations. We all possess inherent creativity to bring beautiful things into existence. Whether we desire a beautiful meal or a dreary one, a remarkable business or a mediocre one, the choice is ours. But beautiful things invariably endure. This perspective gains profound dimension when we consider the overview effect experienced by astronauts viewing Earth from space. Edgar Mitchell, returning from the third lunar landing, described an overwhelming spiritual connection upon seeing our planet as a fragile ball of life suspended in void, protected only by a paper-thin atmosphere. This transformational moment revealed to him that everything, sun, moon, earth, ourselves, consists of the same atomic material. Mitchell found explanation for this transcendental experience in ancient literature, Salve Corpus Amanti, Save the Lover's Body, which he interpreted as recognizing our molecular unity. We're all stardust. From space, national boundaries vanish and conflicts diminish. Astronauts return with a conviction to contribute to humanity's future, driven by a deeper understanding of unity and an incessant striving for a better way to live. This cosmic perspective mirrors what theoretical physicist Frank Wilczek asks, is the world a work of art? Einstein's theory of relativity and Dirac's equation are often described as beautiful works of art for their symmetrical descriptions of universal workings. In understanding our world's design, we gravitate toward beautiful theories because they reveal fundamental truths. When we recognize beauty's transformative power, we begin to see design not as superficial styling, but as foundational to everything we create. Ralph Waldo Emerson noted that beauty takes us from surfaces to core foundations. This insight reveals how good design touches our lives in minute detail. Design is foundational to beauty and what we create. By returning to our roots of making, crafting, and designing, our world would improve immeasurably. The Shakers exemplified this philosophy perfectly. Their guiding principles of simplicity, utility, and honesty in design echo William Morris's principle to have nothing in your house that you do not know to be useful or believe to be beautiful. A Shaker chair represents masterful craftsmanship through simplicity: 4 posts, 3 slats, stretchers, and woolen tape. What distinguishes Shaker design is a subtle beauty relying on proportion and harmony between all objects, reflecting their belief that outward appearance reveals inner spirit. For Shakers, work benefited the spirit as much as it produced goods. They worked as if they had 1,000 years to live, yet might die tomorrow, transforming common objects into works of uncommon grace. Their golden rule was clear: do not make that which is not useful, and all useful things should be beautiful. Perhaps most compelling about Shaker design was its inherent optimism. Those who lavish care on everyday objects clearly believe life is worthwhile. All tasks deserved equal quality of workmanship, regardless of the object's importance. This wisdom of simplicity isn't about austerity, but about intention, removing what doesn't matter to reveal what does. When we strip away unnecessary complexity, we discover that beauty often resides in the essential. Doug Engelbart, pioneer of the mouse, hypertext, and video conferencing, wasn't merely building technology, he was creating a world. Like astronaut Edgar Mitchell and the Shakers, Engelbart wanted to raise up humanity by augmenting knowledge, enabling people to collectively solve big problems through improved information flow. We should look beyond what Engelbart built to ask, what world was he trying to create? His motivation and vision should inspire us to ask ourselves the same question. Engelbart described his vision even though it didn't yet exist, a crucial step. For if you cannot describe a new destination, you'll never reach it. The limits of our language are the limits of our world. Just as 18th century French pamphleteers enabled the construction of a republic through new language, and William Gibson imagined cyberspace, Engelbart helped create a digital world that transformed how we communicate. This perspective transforms how we approach design. Instead of asking, "What am I making?" we should ask, "What world am I creating through what I make?" This shift in thinking elevates our work from mere production to meaningful creation. Morihei Ueshiba embodied this transformative approach when he retreated to the mountains with a Zen philosopher and emerged having transformed martial arts from violence to the graceful, nonviolent practice of Aikido. This transformation illustrates how our beliefs shape everything we do, whether we notice it or not. Without a guiding philosophy, we lose our navigational compass and ultimately our humanity. While precision and design and engineering ensures things fit together reliably, these technical aspects cannot answer the essential why questions. Why do we do what we do? What purpose do we serve and to whom? These philosophical underpinnings are as vital to our work as technical mastery. Our most potent creativity flows from deep wells of stillness, not from the cacophony of deadlines and constant connectivity that we often mistake for creative stimuli. Tibetan calligrapher Tashi Manox discovered that his emotions would manifest in his meticulous work copying ancient texts. He learned that a clear mind and emotions were essential to execute well from beginning to end. True greatness emerges when focus is total, directed fully by the heart, as practiced by both the Shakers and modern digital creators. This great stillness enables complete commitment to execution and beautiful realization. As Tashi says, it is this commitment that ultimately gives you freedom. Seamus Heaney, master craftsman of language, embodied this essence of craftsmanship through his granite-like integrity and deep empathy. As a poet, his quest for truth allowed him to see what others missed and express it universally. Heaney's genius lay in bringing us into his world through everyday details, folding freshly laundered sheets with his mother or exploring Northern Ireland's troubles. Always expanding outward to universal truths about the mass and majesty of the world. He demonstrated that grace is possible under any circumstances. More than just a poet, Heaney applied his craft to truth. In truth, we find beautiful things and authentic operation. One might have an engineer's mind, but must quest with a poet's heart. This stillness allows us to see more clearly, as photographer Sebastião Salgado demonstrates. His images are filled with intricate detail, yet it's his unique vision, what he chooses to see, that makes his work profound. 20 photographers in the same place will produce 20 different visions of the world. To develop creative vision with depth, we must open our senses to all that surrounds us, absorbing new information and challenging ourselves to see differently. This observational and intuitive practice requires removing the distance between subject and observer. Empathy grants us tremendous depth of field, enabling works of great truth and beauty. John Steinbeck called the free, exploring, curious mind humanity's most valuable asset. Curiosity rejects rules as merely provisional, preferring unplanned diversions and impulsive turns. It grows voraciously. The more you know, the more connections you make, the more ideas emerge. When pushed to its limits, curiosity inevitably confronts established orthodoxies, as Galileo, Darwin, and Jobs discovered. Yet these disruptors eventually brought more beautiful ways of being and knowing to the world. Maintaining deep, intense curiosity about our world is essential for original thinking. The incurious face a dim future, while those with hungry hearts and minds determine what they create. This curiosity creates space for serendipity, those unexpected connections and discoveries that transform our work. Serendipity never schedules appointments. She simply arrives in her own fashion, whether as a dramatic revelation or the quietest whisper. The key is to leave your door open for her unannounced visits. With a developed depth of field and curious soul, allowing evolution and finding meaning in playful accidents can transform ordinary creation into something unique, valuable, and beautiful. Sometimes the best approach is not to try at all, but simply to be ready to surrender your heart when serendipity arrives. Comedian Bill Bailey reveals his creative process. "I start with a laugh and work backwards from there. What do I need to do to create this amount of laughter?" This captures how we transform fiction into reality. When faced with design challenges, designers make intuitive leaps to visualize optimal outcomes, an impossible approach for many. The designer's comfort with finding ways to push boundaries of tools, technologies, and skills allows them to create what previously didn't exist. As Pixar co-founder Ed Catmull noted, "The greatest enemy of creative success is the attempt to fortify against failure." Creating the future means embracing glorious mistakes and occasional disappointment as essential parts of producing truly valuable and original work. Museum tools, worn with lustrous patina from years of patient labor, represent a craftsman's mastery and lifetime of making. These tools defined how the craftsman worked, shaping days and even an entire life. How you pick up a tool shapes how you use it and what you create. Pick up tools with truth and beauty in your heart. Work with positive energy and optimism and observe the results. New tools enable us to make new things, reshaping how we create the future and ultimately transforming our lives, economies, and society. Typography and book design involve intricate details: paperweight, color, opacity, texture, typeface, letter spacing, line length, and crucially, the control of white space. When asked how he began designing a book, a master typographer simply said, "I start with the space between the lines." This cryptic advice invites us to conceive the whole sensual, textured experience, creating something effortless and delightful where the designer's ego remains hidden. We instinctively recognize when design is right or wrong. Like the harmonious shaker chair, good design has natural resonance and rhythm, blending form and content with aesthetic logic. As design teacher Derek Birdsall advised, "Design something to be inevitable. Work until people cannot imagine it existing any other way." Beauty is work well resolved. It is simple. Our world engages all senses, from the smell of baking bread to the shock of ocean waves, from summer rain scents to the softness of a favorite sweater. Our bodies constantly compute temperature, pressure, wind, light, taste, and sound, with our intuitive consciousness connected to all senses. Art endures because it speaks directly to these senses. Designing for sensory experience isn't weakness but strength. Resisting the notion that business success depends solely on numerical measurement and efficiency rather than experiential truth. Great design creates joyful sensory experiences that convert to goodwill, warm memories, and commercial success. Some of the most successful recent businesses were founded by designers who understood this principle. We don't think beauty, we feel it, sense it, know it. Johnny Ive, Apple's renowned industrial designer, redefined our relationship with computers by mastering materials and production. Where others accept limitations, Ive's team persistently asks, why not? And how can we? Questioning conventional boundaries about glass thickness, aluminum milling, polishing techniques, and precision tolerances. By refusing pat answers and pursuing design excellence, Apple became one of the world's richest companies while delighting customers. As Emerson noted, great beauty is foundational. Design resolves how people use things. Great design envisions the ideal experience and moves toward it, sometimes requiring determination to overcome "it can't be done" responses. Mastering materials in service of vision is fundamental to creating beautiful things, like a sheet of paper that becomes either a simple airplane or, in skilled hands, transforms into delicate origami magic. Though beauty and design appear effortless, they require dedicated practice rather than divine genius. The author offers 14 practices to develop the capacity to create meaningful work that serves the world. These practices help us see, design, and craft work we can be proud of, turning our natural gifts into tangible contributions through daily discipline and mindful engagement. These practices include cultivating curiosity, increasing your depth of field, developing adaptability, observing successful models, seeking out inspiring people, understanding specialized language, embracing openness, working collaboratively, starting with optimism, recognizing no boundaries, surrendering to intuition, working only with good people, letting go of fear, and seeking to create enduring beauty. Each practice builds upon the others, creating a framework for approaching design with intention and purpose. By incorporating these practices into our daily work, we develop the capacity to create things of lasting value and beauty. The belief that our best creative work happens in youth creates a bleak future. Instead, we should recognize that every day offers opportunity for the new. Willie Nelson, who made 250 albums and still tours in his 80s, didn't achieve success until age 40. Similarly, author Mary Wesley wasn't published until 70, yet became one of Britain's most successful novelists with 10 bestsellers and 3 million books sold in her final two decades. Rather than lamenting missed opportunities, we can choose to believe that success arrives at the right time, with all previous experience serving as preparation. Some things simply require their own natural timeline, not our imposed schedule. On England's coastal edge stands Prospect Cottage, where artist Derek Jarman created an extraordinary garden in seemingly impossible conditions. This shingle beach faces nature's full fury, relentless wind, salt, sun, and rain, with no soil for planting. Yet here Jarman restored a fisherman's hut and created a garden of gorse, sea kale, santalina, and wildflowers arranged among found beach objects. Jarman, even while dying, lifted spirits with creative optimism, showing that with commitment, even a bare patch of land can become paradise. As he wrote, "Paradise haunts gardens, and some gardens are paradises. Mine is one of them." His work challenges us all. We all have our own shingle beach. How can we make it beautiful? The author recalls planting a beech hedge 20 years ago when it was just struggling twigs, carrying pails of water all summer to keep them alive. When gaps appeared in the hedge, the author's father-in-law offered wisdom against the quick-fix impulse to buy tall replacement plants. It's the roots you need to be concerned about, not its height. They planted small plants with strong roots instead. Today, the hedge stands magnificent, bronzed in autumn and winter, lush green in spring and summer. The lesson? Some things require their own natural timeline, not our imposed schedule. Time, like the hedge, is earthed. Hugo and Fred of Blitz Motorcycles breathe new life into discarded bikes, reclaiming frames, engines, and parts from another era with passionate craftsmanship. Their aesthetic vision transforms old motorcycles into something reborn, exciting to ride, preserving a particular era of engineering. Self-taught mechanics who learn through trial and error, they embody the truth that mastery takes time. You can't rush greatness, only work toward it daily through passion and purpose. Their workshop operates without timesheets, using only love as the measure of good work. Their story illustrates that investing in what you love, despite the cost in time, money, and occasional scars, pays dividends in personal satisfaction and inspires others. As a friend told the author, "Invest in love. It pays well in the end." True leadership requires personal standards, never satisfied, always questioning, while maintaining empathy for those you lead. A leader's real authority comes as a gift voluntarily given by others who believe power won't be abused. This requires self-love. If you're at war with yourself, you cannot lead others with genuine compassion. Effective leadership involves soft skills, open listening, making time, honesty, and creating opportunities for collective creation. The author recounts transforming a state broadcaster by making everyone part of the process, flattening hierarchy, and ensuring heart connections to the work. This co-creative approach produced difficult conversations that ultimately forged collective will. The key was helping people believe they could be better as individuals and as a group, recognizing everyone's contributions rather than imposing solutions from above. People invest love, energy, and passion in what they help create, willingly going the extra mile. We don't labor merely for money, but for meaning. Whether leading teams or workshops, ensuring people are true co-creators of their future, heard and respected, generates different energy than simply giving orders. Muhammad Ali's shortest poem, just two words, "Me, We," captures our essential human nature. We need to be authentic individuals, yet can only truly be ourselves when connected to a greater we. The individual needs community to create beyond personal limits, while the collective needs each person's full capacity to create shared meaning. Pixar's success stems not just from animation mastery, but from their collaborative storytelling process. After Toy Story's triumph, Ed Catmull established the Brain Trust, a forum where films undergo rigorous scrutiny throughout development. The rules are simple. Only constructive criticism, speak with candor, and build trust. Meetings feature frank talk, spirited debate, laughter, and love to excavate the truth in each film. Directors listen to feedback but are never directly instructed what to do. They develop their own interpretations. Catmull admits every Pixar movie sucks in the beginning, but through patient, open collaboration, mediocrity transforms into excellence. This model of intense creative partnership toward shared purpose can work in any industry willing to invest the time. Gabriel Branby transformed axe maker Gransforce Brook from financial crisis to sustainable success by embracing the total philosophy, a holistic approach to ethics, business, and production. He stripped axes to their essence, removing unnecessary materials and processes while adding knowledge gathered from extensive research. The company empowers smiths to work at their own pace rather than by piece, with each craftsperson proudly marking finished axes with their initials. This craft approach creates meaning for workers and quality for customers, demonstrating how deep engagement leads to both commercial success and personal commitment. Tim Mead transformed Yeo Valley Farms by embracing an organic approach as a design solution to economic vulnerability. Rather than remaining dependent on volatile oil prices and supermarket demands, he created a sustainable business model working with nature's rhythms. Mead encouraged local farmers to form a cooperative, guaranteeing to buy their organic milk, a revolutionary approach that earned a Queen's Award. His philosophy balances economic viability with environmental stewardship, proving that respecting natural systems produces superior products while building community. The farm demonstrates six key principles: seeing further, adaptiveness, openness, community focus, craftsmanship, and creating enduring beauty by keeping utopia in sight. We can all live off the coast of Utopia, seeing it shimmer in perfect beauty across the water. Though we can never reach perfection, we should still strive for it. Michelangelo's David comes close. While cynics dismiss Utopia for the certainty of mediocrity, the wise person remains optimistic despite knowing they'll never reach the utopian shore. Keeping possibility in sight offers a more joyful, meaningful existence through continuous process. No pessimist ever discovered the secrets of the stars, or sailed to an uncharted land, or opened a new heaven to the human spirit. Due design encourages navigating toward design with optimism that uplifts humanity and our planet, where beauty in everything naturally creates a more restorative world. The philosophy of Ing represents ongoing creative processes: playing, making, loving, baking, coding, inventing, crafting, painting, stitching, weaving, meditating, banging, sawing, reflecting, laughing, drawing, exploring, forging, blowing, sewing, dreaming, printing, sharing, inspiring, guiding. The list concludes with a simple, provocative question. What is your Ing? This invites us to identify our own active creative practice and ongoing contribution to beauty in the world. Humanity is a living system intertwined with nature, riding flows of matter, energy, and information. To create a more beautiful world, we must consider our work's purpose in creating restorative lives. As craftspeople, we should follow William Morris's maxim to have nothing in your house that is neither useful nor beautiful, while committing completely to purpose, which brings freedom and joy. The journey toward beauty isn't about perfection, but about intention, making deliberate choices that honor both our creative capacity and our responsibility to the world. By embracing the principles of beautiful design, we create not just better objects, but better lives and ultimately a better world.